the series title says, Hearing God's Voice. My question then would be for you is, have you heard the voice of God? Do you know when God is speaking to you? I think this is an important question for us as we wrestle with walking our life of faith. I think it has a direct and significant impact. Henry Blackaby, in his study, Experiencing God, says this. He says, if Christians do not know when God is speaking, they are in trouble at the heart of their Christian lives. They don't know when they're speaking, they're in trouble at the heart of their Christian lives. I was thinking about that and think, well, yeah, I guess that's true, right? Because as God's children, we are to walk in God's ways. We are to be part of the kingdom of God. We are to be those who follow Jesus Christ. And certainly the ways of the world and the ways of God and his kingdom, they're two different things. And so as I am striving to walk into God's kingdom and into God's purposes following Jesus, it's pretty essential that I hear God calling me, because if I'm left to my own voice, if I'm left to listening to the voices that are around me in this world, I am not going to just drift into the kingdom of God. To be honest, I will probably drift and move away from God, and I will be very far from God instead of being in God's kingdom. You'll be like Carson, who instead of the goodness of nursery, drifted away and found himself in a horrible place right here in the middle of the church. You don't want to be like that. You want to hear the voice of God so that you can be where God calls you to be, where God is calling you to go. I think that's critical. So is your life marked by hearing from God? Can you hear God's voice? When I was thinking about that question, I was reminded a number of years back, an interview that took place on the talk show The View. This is probably the only time ever in my message I'm referencing The View. But I'm referencing The View because it was when Mike Pence was vice president, and Joy Behar was responding to one of her co-hosts who was talking about Mike Pence, who said Mike Pence follows the ways of God and that God speaks to him. And her response was this. She said, it's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another when Jesus talks to you. That's mental illness, if I'm correct. Hearing voices. All right, let's hear it for all the mentally ill here today. If that is the standard, then right, we're going to say, yes, I am mentally ill, because my response to her and to others who think this idea of hearing the voice of God is just something mystical or something abnormal is that God speaks to his people. God does speak to his people. Pastor Greg kicked off this series reminding us how God speaks to his people. And if you missed that message, I encourage you to go back and listen to that, because that was the foundation of this series, that we have a God who speaks to his people. And the record of the Bible is that God continues and has always spoken to his people. Hebrews 1 begins this way. Hebrews 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through prophets at many times and in various ways. So in the Old Testament, there's our God speaking to his people through the prophets, through visions, through dreams, through signs, through symbols, through miracles, and angels in countless ways. God spoke to his people, and when he spoke, they knew it was God, and they knew they had heard from him, and then they acted on it. And so we see that God speaks and did speak to his people in the Older Testament. And when we move on to the Newer Testament, Hebrews 1 verse 2 says this, "But in the last days, God has spoken to us by his Son." In the Newer Testament, how did God speak? Through his Son. Which is why John opens his glorious gospel with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word came, and he dwelt among us." The Greek word used there is logos by John. It simply means something that is spoken, something that is revealed. And that's what Jesus did. He revealed to us, and he spoke, and he illustrated to us and demonstrated through his life and his teachings and his actions. This is the will and the ways of God. This is what it looks like to be in God's kingdom. And so Jesus in the Newer Testament was the one who spoke for God. So what about now? What about now that we move into Jesus' resurrection and then he ascended into heaven and here we are today? Jesus is not here. So how does God speak to us today? John chapter 14, if you have your Bibles in front of you. John chapter 14. I'm going to start reading at verse 15, and we'll go through verse 18, and then I'm going to jump down to 25 and 26. So this is what Jesus says. He says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And then jumping down to verse 25, Jesus says, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the advocate," verse 26, "but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So if we're asking that question, how does God speak to us today? Yeah, I'm here. I want to hear the voice of God. How does he speak to me today? Jesus answers it there in John chapter 14. If you look, Jesus says, you don't have to be worried. You don't have to have trouble. You don't have to be afraid that I've ascended into heaven and I'm the Word and I took the Word up to heaven and now you're wordless. You don't have to worry about it because in verse 17, Jesus says, "I am sending you," in verse 16, "I am sending you another advocate." That word advocate in the Greek is parakletos. Parakletos. And there is not a good English word-to-word translation for that word, parakletos. That's why the scholars have had a hard time, and you'll find many of our versions of our Bible are different. But the best definition that we can have of parakletos to really get the breadth of its meaning is, as it says on the screen there, one who is called beside. One who is called beside, that's the parakletos. So if you committed a crime and you had to go to court, you would have one who was beside you, who would stand to represent you to the judge, who would be your advocate for you there in the court of law. That is one who stands beside you. If you were down in the dumps, You might choose to go spend some time with a friend, and that friend might come along and be beside you and encourage you. Or maybe you're really confused about something and life has just got you, you know, tied up in knots and you're anxious. You don't know which way to go, so you choose to go get some guidance, and so you go to a counselor who comes beside you and gives you that wisdom. These are all examples and words of what is captured in this word parakletos here, which is why all these versions we have, I wrote these down. King James says comforter, NIV, RSV says counselor, NRSV says advocate, the Message says friend, the ESV says helper. That's why they all say different things, because they're trying to capture this essence of this parakletos who really becomes all things beside you, right there beside you. So whatever you need, I'm there. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you the guidance. And that was the role that Jesus fulfilled when he was on earth. I'm here. I'm walking beside you. I am God in the flesh, dwelling among you, showing you, teaching you, guiding you, comforting you, encouraging you, giving you wisdom. That's my role here, showing you what God desires for you and speaking God into your life. And so what Jesus says here, notice what he says. He says, I am going to give you another parakletos. All right? I'm going away. The word's going to heaven. So now what's going to happen? Do we got this big vacuum? No. Jesus says, I'm sending you another parakletos. And the Greek word for another, again, there's two words in Greek for another. The first word is heteros, which means of a different kind. And then there's the word alon, which means of the same kind. And Jesus here is saying, that's the word that's used here. I'm sending you one of the same kind. Here's me. I've been your advocate. I've been your parakletos. I'm going to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. And don't worry. Don't be troubled. Don't have fear. You can have peace because I am sending you another me, another advocate, another helper, another counselor in my place. So you don't have to worry. And Jesus says, I'm going to send that Spirit in to help you, and he will be with you forever. The Spirit came in 33 AD. Pentecost, the Spirit was given to the church. 2,000 years later, we're still in forever. It's still forever. The Spirit is still here with us, that comforter, that helper, the advocate that Jesus sent, the parakletos. And notice what Jesus calls the parakletos in verse 17. He calls him the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. That's the main business of the Holy Spirit, is truth, truth with a capital T, as Jesus says over in verse 26, he says, he will teach you all things, right? Jesus was teaching. And we sit here and we go, oh man, I just wish I could sit at the feet of Jesus and I just soak in his teaching. I would be so holy and I'd be so righteous. I mean, I would just knock Christianity out of the ballpark if I could just listen to Jesus. And Jesus says, guess what? I'm sending you another one who will teach you all things. And he's going to remind you of everything that I have said to you. He's there. Every red letter that I spoke, he's reminding you of, he's teaching you, he's there to instruct you in the ways and the will of God so that you too can enter through the small gate and get your feet on the narrow path that leads to life. He's there with you. The Spirit of Truth. And I love how Paul reminds us of that in 1 Corinthians 2:11. 1 Corinthians 2:11, Paul says, in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God. The Spirit of God Jesus says, I'm sending to be with you so that you can know the thoughts of God. He will remind you of everything that I said, and he will be here to teach you. So you don't have to worry. I'm not leaving you aimless. You can know how to follow truth. And the truth with a capital T, it's not your truth, it's not my truth, it's not social media truth, it's not truth that I want to manifest, it's God's truth. It's God's truth, which leads to life abundant. And that's what he says the Spirit comes to do. He doesn't bring a new revelation, he just reminds us of the words of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus. He reminds us of the Word. Well, okay then. Right? I got some things that I'm wrestling with. I got some places that I'm going, some things that I'm trying to deal with. So I'd love to just get one-on-one with the Spirit. Can I go out to coffee with the Spirit? I mean, how can I do this? Is there a website that I can go to access the Spirit? Or can I find the Spirit on social media? You got a number, Pastor, so I can text the Spirit my concern this morning? Goodness, how in the world do I get in touch with the Spirit so I can hear from the Spirit, right? Because I want to know. It's truth. I want to get there. Well, look what Jesus said about how we can find the Spirit. Verse 17, don't let that one just go by you quickly. It says, you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He lives with you and he will be in you. So you're wondering where the Spirit is. He's in you. You talk about intimacy, right? He's just not a companion, not just somebody by the side that you bump into every once in a while. The Spirit, who is a person, not an it, not a force. We'll talk more about the Holy Spirit down the line in this series as we get to understand who God is. But right now, it's a person of the Spirit who comes and he lives within you. That's intimacy, that he lives within you. In the moment that you put your faith and trust in God, Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, you're born again. How are you born again? You're born again of the Spirit. And that Spirit gets implanted into your heart. It gets implanted into your life so that now you can resist the things of the world. You can defeat sin. You can move towards righteousness. Why? Not because of your effort, but because Jesus has implanted his Spirit inside of you. The Spirit of God is within you that enables you to now move towards the kingdom of God and in the direction of God. And here Jesus is saying that Spirit is in you and he dwells in you. And when he comes, you're transformed. And that was another message we did in this series. So go back and listen to message number. It's almost like these things were building on each other. Guy, what a plan. So maybe go back and listen to that message because you're transformed. So that you can become what God wants you to become, and that Spirit is living in you. And the Apostle Paul says these incredible words. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know? Hello? Your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God. Own that one. Is that not enough just to rattle you that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And what do we know about the temple of the whole? What do we know about the temple? It's holy, right? We didn't go through Leviticus for nothing. It's holy. And we know that in the temple, into the Holy of Holies, is where the very presence of God could be found, and they could only go there once a year, and it was under certain conditions in certain ways, because you just don't take the presence of God lightly. And now this holy God, his holy presence, is taking up residence in you. Holy cow, literally, No, they would not holy not cow, because the cow would not have to be sacrificed anymore. Sorry, that was a squirrel moment. My mind went down a rabbit trail there. How about I just say holy, holy, holy? How about that? Is that a lot? That's better. That's better. But that's us now, because we have the very presence of God living within us. We are indwelt by the Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 2:11 and 12. He says, "We have received the Spirit who is from God." And if you look at verse 16, the end of verse 16, 1 Corinthians 2:16, he says this, we're but people, right? Because we have the Spirit of God, the world is different. And Jesus said the world will not recognize the voice of God. They think it's foolishness, a.k.a. Joy Behar. You think it's foolishness. They aren't going to understand it. But we who have the Spirit have the mind of Christ. Oh! The mind of Christ. We're wondering, how can we do the things of God? How can we walk in the path of God? How can we hear? How can we know what God wants us to do this day? It's not a mystery. Do you see this? That God has done everything possible. He's implanted His Spirit within you and enabled you to live by His Spirit so that you can have the very mind of Jesus Christ. That is amazing to me. And so many, you know, it's an old statement, because, and you hear it like on bumper stickers, and other people say, well, if you're not hearing from God, it's not God's fault, right? It's on us, because God has done everything He can. And Jeremiah 29 says, if you seek me, you will find me. Why? Because if we seek God, where is His Spirit? It's implanted right here in me as a believer in Jesus Christ. And because of that, I have the mind of Jesus Christ, and I can know what God wants me to do. I can know the will and ways of God. It's not a mystery. God's not hiding out there somewhere like a Where's Waldo thing. He's like, no, I'm right here. I'm not a God of confusion. I'm not a God of chaos. I'm not a God who wants my people to follow me and I'm going to bury myself in all kinds of camouflage. I'm right here. I made it obvious. I sent the Word. And now the Word is in you and you can have the mind of Christ. And so knowing that, let me circle back to last week. That we need to cultivate a posture where we can allow that Spirit to speak into our lives. So if you weren't here last week, you should go back and listen to last week's message that Pastor Laura gave. And when Pastor Laura talked about the posture that we have to have, that we need to be confessing in our lives. If we want to hear from this Spirit that's within us, we need confession, right? Because otherwise, we are piling all this sin, all this darkness, all this garbage on top of the Spirit, and we're not going to be able to hear the Spirit. And the Scriptures tell us, please don't grieve the Spirit. Instead, we want to walk by the Spirit. So we want to confess, and we want to get all that out so that the only thing that's flowing through us is the Spirit of God. We want to confess, and then we want to surrender. Surrender, which says, God, it's not my will, it's not my ways, it's not my truth, it's not the world's truth, it's your truth. That's what I'm going to live by, God. It's your truth and your truth alone. And then I'm going to believe that that's the best for me. We talked about this Wednesday night in the men's group about why do we not have a longing for heaven? Is it because we don't really believe that heaven is so good? We want to hold on to these things in this world because we believe these things of this world are much sweeter than the things that God is going to give us, that God's going to provide for us. But the Scriptures tell us God is a good God. That God gives us life. He gives us what we can't even imagine or even think about. And we need, as we surrender, we say, God, yes, I want to know your direction because I believe that it is good. And then, in earnestness, I'm going after it, right? Seek, right? You know, playing hide-and-go-seek, right? You don't play hide-and-go-seek and then just stand after you get done counting and go, okay. You got to go look for people. You got to make the effort to go after them. And that's what God is saying. Come urgently. Come seek me. And if you seek me, you will find me. And so I'm going to put a practice before you. And I'm not going to blow your mind with this practice. Because it's one that Jesus demonstrated for us over and over again. And that practice is prayer. Prayer has to become a regular practice and rhythm of our lives. Why? Because we're seeking God. I mean, Jesus modeled this all the time in his life. I just wrote down a few. In the morning before heading to Galilee, he went to pray. He prayed all night before choosing 12 disciples. Before he taught the Lord's Prayer, he prayed. Before raising Lazarus from the dead, he prayed. He prayed for himself and the disciples and all believers before he headed to Gethsemane. In Gethsemane, he prayed about his betrayal and what was going to happen. And over and over and over again, Jesus was praying. Now that sent me down a little theological rabbit trail in itself this week. Did Jesus need to pray to the Holy Spirit for guidance so we would know what God wanted him to do? We're going to save that question for later. Because I think Jesus, in his humanity, showed us the importance that he laid, right? The scriptures tell us that he laid things aside. I don't know how that all works, but he laid aside. He knew. And even if he didn't and he was still Jesus, as Jesus, as, you know, almighty power, he still knelt and prayed to God. How much more would we need to do that? But he prayed for the wisdom. He prayed to God all the time to direct and order my day, because every day he got up, massive things on his mind, massive opportunities for ministry, and Jesus always knelt before his God. And so I want to encourage you to step into that same kind of space where you can listen to God. Do you have a regular rhythm in your life, a regular practice in your life where you are listening to God? I think it was John Piper who recently said, when we begin to look back at all the time that we spend on social media, it will reflect to us how much time we actually did have to seek the face of God. How much time are you spending trying to listen and hear the voice of God who is right there and present to guide you? So I want to encourage you, like Jesus did, make some space. Make space. Clear a little quiet space. Go to a room. Go to your backyard. Find a place where you can be alone. And please, let's not try to multitask here and say it's in the car while I'm driving. Is that good? Yes, because we're to be praying on all occasions. But I'm saying let's seek some time where we're just coming before the face of God. And don't rush this. Let's sit down. And let's just take a deep breath. And realize this is important, because what could be more important in your life is you live and walk and strive to be the child of God and a follower of Jesus. What could be more important than hearing where Jesus wants you to go, how God wants you to live, what God has for you to say? Because we live for his glory. We live for his purposes. That's why we're here. Not to build up a big bank account, not to have lots of things, not to have incredible parties. We are here to glorify God. And so what could be more important than making space for God? And then I encourage you to center on God, because it's not about us. It's not about our laundry list. It's about who God is and how we can more reflect his character and what he wants us to do. Colossians 3, Paul tells us to set our mind on things above. So I'm going to make space and I'm going to sit in a quiet place. And the first thing I'm going to do with my mind is set it on things above. I'm going to focus it on God. And maybe the Psalms would be a good go-to here, because all the Psalms usually are elevated towards God. And I encourage you just to read a psalm and listen to a description of what they say about God and who he is, and let that lift your prayer. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. God, I'm coming to you today because I know you are a good shepherd, and you're going to lead me to quiet paths. You're going to take me down the paths and down the quiet waters into good grass. God, I'm coming to you today because of that. Psalm 145 says the Lord is gracious and merciful. God, today I am coming before you and I'm sitting in your presence, God, because I need your mercy, because without it, I am nothing, God. God, will you extend your mercy into my life so that all I am is about you today? Psalm 117 says the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. God, I'm sitting here today. I'm coming into your presence because, God, you are faithful. We turn our attention towards God. That's exactly what Jesus modeled for us. We start our prayers with, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." It starts with a focus towards God. We come in that space because we want to aim our attention towards God. And then as we seek his voice, I'm just simply saying, share with God your request. Don't get muddy with it. Just ask it clearly. Don't put a lot of drama into it, because Jesus tells us God knows what you need before you even ask him. And so we come before God and we say, God, should I go on this camping trip with the guys this week? God, should I make this job change? God, should I free up more resources for the kingdom of God? And we bring those questions before God. Just simply bring them before God. God, is that what you have for me? Holy Spirit, I need your help. I really want to hear from you, God. Holy Spirit, come and speak to me. Give me eyes to see and ears to hear. Take away my distractions, Lord, as John prayed earlier. Any other voices, God, any other distractions out there, take them away so I can just hear from you, God. Should I do this thing? It doesn't matter if it's big. It doesn't matter if it's small. I believe all things should be laid before our God. Paul says, pray without ceasing. And I lay this before God, and then as we try to listen to God, buckle up for this one. Practice stillness and silence. Stillness and silence. God urges the psalmist, he says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. We must learn how to be still, both spiritually and physically, as we come before God. And this is difficult in this age of noise, because all around us is noise, like the Grinch. Noise, 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 all around. Is that, have you seen the Grinch still? Yeah, okay, so that was not a reference. That one. But that's kind of what it's like, right? That's all he's hearing is the noise. It's like those cymbals clattering together. There's noise, noise, noise. And how are we possibly going to be able to hear from God? We need to, because sometimes God speaks, it tells us in the Old Testament, he speaks in a whisper or a still small voice. And that's going to take some silence for us to hear. And we sit in that silence. And maybe you're somebody who maybe you don't have a burning question. Maybe you're not dealing with a difficult situation that you're really like, I need to press into God for some guidance. Then I just suggest you still make that time. Still come and sit before him. And maybe just ask this question. Lord, are there any areas of disobedience in my life where I'm not walking as Jesus walked? Where I'm not following the word? Ask that question. And if you're convicted by the Holy Spirit on that one, write it down and do some confession, which we talked about earlier, to get that so you can live with the voice of God. Or maybe you ask this question in that time. You just say, Lord, what is on your heart for me today? Because don't we often go to God with our list? God, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. I need you to help me to do this, this, and this, God, and will you do it? But what if we just sat before God and said, God, what do you want me to do today? You might hear the still small voice and find yourself in Eurasia. How about that? You might find what God really has for you to do in your life if you just open up to that question. But how often do we just sit and listen and seek God to follow him and to follow his his ways. And then wait. Be silent before him. Because without silence or solitude, we're not going to hear the voice of God. It's real, like, I mean, I imagine like in my house in the morning when I say, I want to go tell Amy what I'm doing. Oh, I got this important thing that I have to do today. But meanwhile, there is, you know, there is SportsCenter blaring on my iPad, the two cats meowing for their morning treat, and I'm blending up a smoothie at the same time. Is she going to hear me? Not a chance. In order for us to communicate, all of that needs to be shut down. And the same is true in our walk with God. We need to give him our time, our attention, sit in silence, and talk to him. And during this time, if any stray thoughts come into your mind, just exhale them. Give them to God. Maybe it's a little like breathing them out. Oh man, this work job today, God. I'm going to breathe it out because that's not going to distract me. Oh, later on, I'm going to breathe it out. And just breathe those things out. Oh, the car repairs. Oh, God, I can't talk to you because I'm doing car repair out. God, I got to get to my emails. Oh, I'm just going to breathe that out. Oh, I hope I can have a cinnamon roll this morning for breakfast. I'm just going to breathe those things out so that I can just keep my mind focused on God. And if it's a new practice to you, if like I'm, like you're like, you're crazy, Pastor Bob, telling me to sit in silence. Oh my goodness. Can you try 3 minutes? Just try 3 minutes. And as God begins to speak to you, you'll taste and see that the Lord is good. You're like, I may want to do this for four. I may want to do this longer. I may want to build a whole retreat center on some property in New Wago so I can do it for a whole weekend. It'll increase where you find that you just love being in the presence of God, because as God, as you sit in that silence, God begins to speak to you, impress upon you. And that's what I would say here, as you sit in that silence, are you hearing any thoughts? Is anything coming into your imagination? Does a verse from the scripture come to mind? Does a song come to your mind? Does a picture come to your mind? Is there a word that comes to the forefront? Are you feeling a nudge of the Spirit, that still small voice speaking inside of you? Allow time for God to give a response. I had a situation this week where it's like, okay, I will pray about this, God. And I prayed about it, and I didn't hear any. Yeah, I didn't really hear anything. So I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to just continue to seek you and continue to seek your face. And the next day showed up, and I'm asking the same question, because sometimes God's timeline is not our timeline, and God answers in different rhythms and timing than we want. And so I brought the question again to God. Is this what you're saying, God? If not, I'm going to wait. I'm going to go on. And when God says something, when you feel something, write it down. And then, as Greg said the very first week, obey without delay. When God gives you something to do, if it's a confession or if it's a new habit or it is a yes to this thing, you got to act on it. You got to move on it. Because as you move on it, then God begins to reveal more and more to you. I went through a period in my life where I had some tension in this relationship with a person. And every time I went and spent some time with God, he said to me, call and apologize to them. I'm like, that's the stupidest thing ever, God, because it's not my fault. I didn't do it. I'm not the source of this issue. They need to call me, and when they call, apologize, then maybe I'll let them off the hook. But God said, no, you call and you apologize. You know what started to happen? I started not having time with God. Because every time I had time with God, you know what he said to me? Call that person and apologize to them. And it wasn't until I was obedient that I called and apologized to that person that relationship was able to become renewed. And then I was able to move forward in a whole bunch of other areas in my life. But until I obeyed, God was like, no, we're coming back to this, pal. We're coming back to this. And I had to trust him and believe that that was good, what he wanted. And it was the best. Not what I wanted. Not what I thought should have happened. But God's kingdom is a whole different playing field than mine. And so we need to obey. We need to obey God. Friends, this is not difficult, right? This is not difficult at all. What did I tell you this morning? Sit down and be quiet. That's not difficult. We can all do this, everyone here, but it is hard. It is hard because this is the one thing the enemy does not want you to do. The enemy will push against you. He will prod against you to keep you from doing this. He's going to tell you that there is no time. He's going to make it so that you say, well, I can't possibly sit still. I'm going to feel like unworthy that I could even hear a voice from God. The enemy's going to come at you full bore because the one thing he doesn't want you to do is to hear the voice of God and have the mind of Jesus Christ and walk in the will and ways of God. And so recognize that you're in a spiritual battle and pray against it and determine to make this a new habit. And then do it again and do it again and again. And what we soon find is in the words of Eugene Peterson as he talks about discipleship, it's a long obedience in the same direction. I just step today asking God, where do I go? How do I go? What do you want me to do? And I do it the next day and the next. And I find myself in the same, where God wants me to go, what God wants me to do. Let's listen to God each and every day. Let him order our steps and watch what God does in our life and in our community. And so right now, I just want to end. We got no time left, but we're going to do it anyways. We're going to end by simply taking God at his word. And so I just want to invite the praise team to come up and come forward. And we're just going to spend a few moments in prayer. See, right now, nobody can say to me, you know, I got to get out of here because I got more important things to do. I just set you up for that. So we're going to stay. We're going to simply take God at his word, because God, this is what Isaiah says, Isaiah 55, 6, seek God today while he can be found. How about that? Don't delay, right? Do it today. God can be, you can find God today. You can listen to the voice of God today. Don't do it. So let's do that. And so I just encourage you right where you are to relax in your space. And my observation has been some of you are more relaxed in your space than others. But how about all of us? Relax in our space. Maybe breathe out. Get rid of any distracting thoughts. Center your mind on God. Let God know that you are here for him. Psalm 103 reminds us, God, that you forgive all sins, that you heal all diseases, that you redeem our lives from the pit, that you give crowns to those with love and compassion, and God, that you desire to satisfy us with good things, and that you will come alongside us so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. How can you worship God today? That he is a God who has forgiven you, that he is a God who has healed you, that he is a God who has redeemed you, that he is a God that has satisfied you with good things. Believe and put your hope and trust and confidence in him. God, today we turn our attention towards you. God's presence. Let's just ask, is there any confession that needs to take place? Anything going on in your life that's squelching the work of the Spirit in you? Because God is like a refiner's fire. He will come and he'll purify us. He doesn't hold us against it. His mercies are new every morning. Let's remember that. We can't play with God. Confess to him, because we want to live by the Spirit. God, that you believe, that you're here now to seek his voice. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So God, we're here to seek your voice. ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you now as you wait for wisdom and insight and direction. As I come before you at this moment, I ask you, what is it that you need to ask? Nothing's too big, nothing's too small. James 4:2 says you do not have because you do not ask God. What's on your heart and mind today? Just ask God. Hebrews 4:16 encourages us that because of Jesus Christ, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God is here for you today. Ask God for clarity for what's in your heart today. Maybe you don't have a pressing question. And open yourself up and ask God, is there any area of disobedience or correction needed in my life? Maybe ask God, what is on your heart for me, God? Ask Jesus to keep any other voices that isn't His from distracting you. Help us to focus on you and you alone, God. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Let us be still.